Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Simply the best.
Your hat is amazing.
But you like muted. Like what?
I know. I was like, I'm so excited and I can't get to the mute button fast enough.
What is going on?
Oh, I've got my cup of tea.
What? And I got the postcard. Oh yeah, I got a cup.
Yeah.
I got a cup too. I am so excited.
Loving this.
I am loving you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be fun and fantastic. Because we are both freaking podcaster extraordinaires.
We are. Now, hey, I got to ask how you're doing.
You know what? Hey, let me tell you, baby, I am bent, but I am not broken.
Okay. I know. Yeah, no, I know. And I just wanted, because I know you're going through a really hard thing right now. And I just want you to know, I have no doubt you're bending. And I just want you to know.
I tell everybody, it's the strangest emotion that I'm having right now outside of this hair.
Actually, your hair's great.
Thank you. But, you know, me and my mother was peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
We were so cool. My mother lived with us and Mr. Magnificent for 30 years. Wow. We all got along. We traveled together. We partied. Yeah. You know, I got to lay my chest on her chest and feel her last heartbeat.
Who does that? That's so wonderful. Nobody. That? Yeah, nobody. You know, good.
She felt my first heartbeat when she came, and I felt her first heartbeat when she left.
That is beautiful. It was
amazing, and I saw the transition. You know, we're nothing but matter. Don't ever be afraid of death. Don't ever.
We're stardust, my friend.
I wouldn't just kind of, you know, just jump out of a window and try to hurry up and get there.
Okay? Right, right.
But if you are on that trajectory, just relax and go with it, man, because I know there is glory on the other side. I was talking to her a few minutes ago before I came in here.
Good.
And I said, Mama, I said, are you adjusted? And she has a special way of saying, mm-hmm. And I heard. And I said, well, is everything nice? She said, it's nice up here.
Well, there you go. I love that. Yes. Good. I am so glad, April. Thank you for being here and bending for everybody that you're interviewing and your brains community and your family and your local community. I mean,
I love you guys. You guys are what keep me going. I cannot tell you when they say, give me my flowers while I'm alive. Baby, I have had flowers coming every day. Somebody sent me a fifth of Hennessy. Somebody sent me a half a case of wine. Okay.
Good.
Somebody even gave me a card to the dispensary. Now, I don't use it. They told me to go get some edibles. I don't need them. I'm good. Right. But just, I mean, there's nothing that I could have wanted, from conversation to comfort to care, that you guys have not given me. And I thank you from the bottom of my socks, because my heart isn't deep enough.
Good.
Mama used to say that to me all the time.
Oh. So,
what is going on, Jessica?
Okay, well, if I were to just like start at the weather, there's snowflakes coming out of the sky here today.
I know. Right?
Yeah, I'm in Boulder, Colorado, and we are having one of those amazing summers that are springs that are still winter, and summer still feels really far away. But you know what? I'll take 2 or 3 feet of snow in May or June anytime over December, January, and February, because we don't have to shovel it. It melts so fast that you know, if it's going to come down, it's going to be gone, really creates slushy mess, but who cares?
I don't even know what that feels like. Oh, here, brains, I forgot to tell you, you're on the edge. We just jumped right into it. That's what we do sometimes, you know, but you That's know right. your address, you guys ain't lost. You got an automatic mental GPS, you know, when you tuned in. This is Jessica Dwell. From Boulder, Colorado. She is the business. Let me tell you, podcasters, I love me some podcasters. Okay. And I'm pretty persnickety about who I interview and whose show I go on and vice versa. But this woman here, quick and slick. When it comes to business, I had to take me some notes. Okay, Red Direction, Uncharted Bold Business Podcast. And the intro is on point because you just get right in there. You let people know exactly where they are, their location. You have amazing guests. And she's going to help us find our true north because, you know, I don't have no moral compass.
I love that. Well, that's right. You may not think so, but I don't know who you're fooling.
Okay. Or who you doing, but you know,
because you do, you have a strong one.
Well, yeah. Thank you. But you know, with business and the conversation and the people that you bring on and what you're doing and sustainability, you know, how are we going to weather the storm in this podcast world? Okay. Cause it's a sea of imposters too. We're going to talk about them too. And how people just try to jump on the mic and think they can just say anything. And you can't do that. You gotta have some street cred.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, I would say, you know, and how about this? I'd say the barrier to entry for podcasting is low. And provided you are willing to be in it, the commitment that it actually takes. People who tell me they podcast and they have a 3-episode sales cycle. I'm like, oh, I hope that works for you. That's really audio marketing.
Exactly. Right? We're going to talk a little bit about marketing and monetizing.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
You can't just do this for shit and giggles.
You have to be
able to generate some revenue. You're marketing and promoting people. You're putting them out there. You're talking about their book. You're talking them up to the moon. You're rotating, them, creating content. All of that is value, baby. And you know, you guys gonna have to step up.
I'm telling you, and I'll be real with you. It is everything you're saying is spot on. And I would take it up a notch and say, sometimes it's hard to figure out how to monetize. I actually started podcasting because I was having such great conversations. I was wondering if they would be as good if I hit the record button. And sure enough, so almost. My son is 10 now. So my son was probably 2 when I started. So 8 years ago is when I really started putting a voice to a microphone, figuring out, well, what are the stories that we can tell? What are the stories that we're having? What makes my eyes get excited and get that little twinkle of mischievousness in there? And what do people really get excited about? And how do they actually move through change? How do they show up to the crazy that the world can bring us, whether we've ignored it and it becomes crazy or it really is just crazy and unexpected?
Because well, I mean, happens. You know, crazy is expected. Okay. What would life be without some crazy?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll concede that. Yeah.
But what I say is that, you know, podcasting is alternative radio. See, some people try to look at it as cookie cutter radio.
Nope.
And every 8 minutes, you've got to break for the commercial and all that. No, you don't have to do that. There's tons of ways of monetizing. There's ways of bartering.
That's right.
But it is of value. Now, it depends on how you want to position yourself, audience, brains. Do you want to be in the Penny Saver or do you want to be on the pages of the Wall Street Journal? I'm just saying, you know.
That's right.
You just can't do it that way. If you want somebody with expertise, a following, and quality, then you know you have to attach, a figure to that. Doesn't have to be a lot, but what you have to do is you have to honor and respect the work that we do because this is not easy.
Nope. And there are a lot. It is not easy, and there are a lot of different ways to monetize. Right. So one of the things that we have done is we're bucking that traditional ad system. And to your point about traditional radio, we actually used to be called the Voice of Bold Business Radio, and now we're the Bold Business Podcast. And I was like, well, we're not truly doing it radio style. So now what? Why what? And one of the things that I thought was really important is that, well, the content that we're going to put out is going to help somebody, which is great. Absolutely. So how do we curate that content? And we've created a resource that people can come to. They can pay 1 month or they can pay for 3 years and, you know, month at a time to get what you want, to have that information dripped to you so that you can keep learning to grow your own business.
I'm about to start commercials.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I got somebody. I'll talk to you about that offline. Somebody that cool. creates it. Hell of a really, my cousin. Just quick flick promotes your people, but you can continuously run that.
That's right.
And I'll continuously run you for $20 a month.
right?
You spend more of that on, you know, burger and fries.
Well, it's true. And okay, so we're actually talking about two different kinds of monetizing, right? I'm talking about monetizing the information and you're talking about monetizing the exposure. And by the way, they are very complementary. And so I just want to call out to our listeners, if you're like, you're talking on two different starting lines and two different tracks. Yes, and we're in the same stadium.
Exactly.
And I think that's so, because you're absolutely right. And if we're coming at it from a PR perspective, then there are certain expectations and realizations and necessary elements that if we really want promotion, that's what we do. And this is where podcasting is really interesting, because I think a lot of podcasters are like, yeah, come be on my show. I get to get you exposure. Well, what do you actually get for that? And, you know, we deliver.
They're looking for numbers.
They're looking for numbers. And here's the thing. We have a small, mighty audience of regular listeners. And I'm so proud of that. I don't need a gigantic audience. What I need are the people who have the stories. And that if they're willing to come on, great. And if they're willing to be part of our bigger message, awesome. And will they get exposure? Absolutely. Will their expertise get heard? Absolutely. But in the end, what am I doing? My mission is to try and help businesses that want to be in business, stay in business. And so my focus is a little less on the promotion side, although we do great promotion. It's more on the, well, how do I help? Mine is all about the focus is on the listener first with the promotion second. And yours is on the, I think equally, would that be fair to say? Well,
yes and no. I'm really into the human interest story, you know,
which is great.
I would like to hear the backstory.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a job.
Everybody's got jobs. You know? Everybody has a backstory too.
And true. So I really like to hear that and then evolve from there.
Yeah.
How they did what they did, what they're doing, yeah. What they're pouring into people, what's the takeaway. And then it's always a call to action.
Always.
Come do some business with me. Come buy my book. Do all of that, because that's what they're on there for. They want exposure. Yeah. And now the world of podcasting is so delicious. Because it's a big old oyster and all you need to do is pick a pearl. I mean, these people are talking about the little audiences that they used to reach on the stage. And I say little audiences because I was a professional speaker, but you may have 500, maybe 1,000 in the room. Now you've got millions of people
logged on
all over the world. It's appointment
all the time.
There's no way that you can be in business now without having an online presence. Wouldn't you agree?
I completely agree with that. And I love the fact that I chose podcasting as a way to do it, to have conversations like this. Like you, there's always a backstory. And it's interesting to see when people come on and I'm like, so how do you show up to change? Tell me a time when that didn't really work for you. Right. How do we, right? And to the point of the backstory and the people who are willing to open up, the people who are willing to have that realness, to your point, make better connections longer term. And their programs are more listened to than the other programs on my podcast.
But Jess, girl, I'll be having people crying. I'll be feeling like Oprah. I'll be like,
good for you.
I really got that out of you.
Yeah.
I have some men on here that have really opened up and said some things that I've never said before. Yeah. I don't know if they realize how big the audience is that they are really projecting to. But it's great. But then, you know, let me change the subject a minute. You know, you have these other big platforms that are promoting the little guys, which they too pick up our RSS feed and don't pay us. But I hate the exposure. Sometimes you can't pay for exposure.
That's right.
But, you know, don't fall into that trap of, oh, I have a million followers. That might be a million people collectively, and a million people are not going to listen to your podcast. And they're alive. They say they are. They're just not. So I am like you. I'm looking for that quality. Yes. I'm looking for people that are going to interact. I'm looking for somebody that's going to listen to it from the beginning to the end and not click off after 5 minutes. I'm looking for the people that really get some value out of it, some tears, some joy, you know, some references, some referrals, all of that. You know, all of that is amazing. And I chose podcasting because someone told me, you know, you're a great conversationalist. And I was like, are you trying to say that in a nice way that I talk too doggone much?
Sometimes, but in the end, it's exactly right. A good conversationalist can help tell a great story. And you do have that, April. You have that.
And you do too. You do too. So how long have you been able to really kind of stay in this playing field for 8 years? Because you're kind of in a niche. See me, I'm not a niche. I'm a variety show because I like to, you know, just pick up all kinds of great stuff. I got a woman that's going to be coming on next week that she is a psychic witch.
I'm going to be tuning into that.
I kind of wish that was my secret superpower.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I had a person that can channel Mozart.
Ha ha, that's cool.
You know, I've had animal communicators, I've had energy workers, but how have you been able to really kind of stay in this trajectory for 8 years, keep people interested, excited, and find the right guest?
I think that that's really, it's an evolution. When I started, it started out as a dialogue between myself and somebody else who I didn't know was in Seattle. And when I lived in Seattle at the time, and we were on this same dialogue round table together, and he said it was raining in Seattle, and I'm like, what part of Seattle are you in? Because where I'm at, it is not raining. And we became friends. He's now the producer of the Bold Business Podcast, and we started a show called the Jess Plus Scott Show. His name is Scott, and we started out as not quite a variety show, but it was when we found somebody with a really cool story, we wanted to tell their story. So it was more variety than just business. And we did that for a while. And it was such a labor of love. To your point, there had to be a change of focus that had a different kind of ROI, because I had a 2-year-old at the time, because he had some other life goals too. And it's easy to allow this particular avenue to take a lot of time. And it does take a lot of time to do the quality that what we've been talking about. It takes a long time. All the steps together collectively is a time investment, and it does have to be monetized. So we made a shift, and I said, Scott, I want to do this to the same quality. I still want to work with you. I need to change this so that we can actually help Red Direction and drive more awareness, drive more clients, use it as a sales funnel. So that's how, then when we shifted, it was a sales funnel, part of the entry to our sales funnel. I always tell people, you know, look, but when I ask questions, people will clam up because I need to get really fast. I need to get into the inside really fast. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to talk about all kinds of things. And what I found was that by having conversations online, people have a chance to figure out who you are, the way that you think, the types of questions you're going to ask. So it's not as scary when I come in and I ask a question and it's the question you just want to avoid answering at all costs
in your
business. Right. And so that's what we've done. So I search high and low for guests. I have come up with a couple of great places that are agents for people that have the quality that I'm looking for and the criteria that I'm looking for. And they're great when I say no. And the more that I say no, the better the quality they send to me.
Right.
And so they're working on the exposure side, and I'm benefiting from this. I know exactly who I want now, and I can tell really quickly. Definitely. So we can cultivate that relationship. But like you, I talk to everybody before they come on.
I vet them, you know, and people will, you know, I'll get an invitation to have a conversation. That's an invitation for a conversation.
Yeah.
You may not feel me, and that's okay.
And that's okay. We have to confirm alignment.
Personal. Yeah. It's not personal. I get it. This may not be the place for you.
Right.
But if it is a place for you, we've had a conversation, you know the expectation, mm-hmm. you know the truth. Yeah. I tell you, go in and check out the show. Make mm-hmm. sure this is a place that you want to be associated with, because I might say any damn thing.
I got to tell you, I love your hat. I know I said it at the beginning, but I love your hat. Okay, April?
I wore red because of you. I thought of you and I said,
go get
my hat. Because you had all those red frame glasses. Girl, do you remember Sally Jesse Raphael? She made those so popular.
Mm-hmm.
So popular. And they are just so you. And I love that jacket. Now, Brains, you have to go and look at the picture. She's doing
it. It's cold here today. So I put my faux fur with my diamonds, fake diamonds on, right? It's all faux everything, but it's cozy and warm and it looks amazing.
Yeah, you got to say faux because Peter will be on you.
That's exactly right. That's right.
It is. And so, you know, people realize with podcasts that 75, I looked at a study, 75% of people believe that the information that they're getting now is crap. Yeah. You know, I worked in television. I worked over at KPBS. I've built audiences for Dr. Phil. I've mm-hmm. built audiences for The Talk. And that's, you know, gathering the people to sit there that make that noise. And the first thing they say when they come out to the audience is that, hey, you need to sit up straight. You need to participate. You need to clap because we are creating television.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're creating an audience, you're also creating some content too.
That's right.
And when you look at a podcast, you are looking at people that are very genuine, that are authentic, that are coming out, you know, just like you and I. We don't have any agenda. We don't have any big sponsors that we have to answer to. Telling real human interest stories. And yes, that's what I find more fascinating about it instead of cookie cutter radio. I mean, really, take into consideration, if you want premium radio, you got to pay for satellite radio in your new car.
That's exactly right.
So there's a cost to doing business, Brain. So don't look at us with a side eye when we, you know, extend you an invitation and an opportunity, because it is an invitation. You know, this That's is right. not a given. This is not a given. We have not put 8 years, 15 years, you know, 72,000, 40 countries. I don't know, what's your listenership?
We have 2,000 regular listeners year over year, month over month, you know, program over program.
And those are valued people that are going to do business with you and that are going to listen and they are going to enact.
That's right. And I will tell you, and I love, by the way, when I said small and mighty, I meant it. And because it doesn't change a whole lot, which means we found the people that we serve. Right. And the people who are done being served by us are replaced by other people who are ready to be served by us.
Absolutely.
And that's huge to keep it. People are like, oh, that's so small. I'm like, is it?
It's petite, honey. We don't do nothing small. Okay.
And I'm okay. You know, I'm.
And I don't like the word small. You know, people will try to.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say, oh, yeah, that little podcast, whatever, Marge.
Right. That's true. No, our exactly. That, and I say a small and mighty audience because these are the people that are changing the world. The exactly. ones that are listening are to people. The
I want to connect with people. And I want to associate my name because I'm putting my street cred on the line.
Right. That's that's exactly right. And so to your point, part of being a good conversationalist is to be able to understand that there is a backstory and be able to understand what that path is to that backstory. And sometimes that vetting process doesn't go as good or is actually better than the actual conversation is when it actually happens. And you know, that's okay. We all have off days. And that's something that I think I actually used in a conversation this morning that might be of interest. One of the ways that I start all of the interactions that I have within leadership teams or even in offsites that I facilitate or other things is every session that we're doing, every start. And there are times I do this even in my family and with my friends. I'm like, how are you? Right? That's too broad. I ask on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your energy level or a percentage? How much are you distracted right now? What percentage are you present? Because if we've got a room where somebody's only 20% present and somebody's 100% present and we didn't call it out at the beginning, what happens? Right. Miscommunication, right? And so that's something too that it's a great little tip that I have started to use for everything, because then I know, is this person in a different, basically in a different sphere than me just in this moment? How do I make the most of this moment with you, April?
Right, right. And what I usually do before I start, after I have my little green room conversation with them, is I just take a few deep breaths and I gather my energy, you know, in a localized space. And I share that with them with love. And, you know, because I want to be in the same place with you. I want to be in the same level of energy with you. I want to connect. And I want this blue out of my doggone screen. I
thought that was funny. I was like, look at that. You did this energy thing.
Yeah, just this way. Okay. Well,
so a little secret about me is I love rocks and they're everywhere. I mean, I keep an amethyst crystal right here on my microphone. I have selenite because I have so much energy sometimes that it interferes with all my technology. People are like, you use technology all the time and you're using rocks more than an amplifier for your internet. And I'm like, why? Yes, because the amplifier of my internet is only going to work if there can be a connection between the amplifier and the thing that needs the internet.
Wow.
I got to clear the space around it.
you got to do it and you got to make the most of it. But when you're not podcasting and mothering, what in the world are you doing in the world?
I raise money for non-traditionally aged women to go back to school through the Colorado Women's Education Foundation. I'm a Girl Scout leader of middle school girls.
Girl Scouts, girl, they kick me out.
You know, oh, that's hilarious. And I'm so sorry. You did not find the right leader then.
I made it to the Brownies and I was cool with that.
And you were, that's good. See, I'm a lifetime Girl Scout. I grew up through Girl Scouts.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't have a girl. I only have a son, but it's so important to me. Want a backstory? Do you want a backstory, April?
I want a backstory, baby.
Okay. And I fell into this and only upon hindsight did I realize that this had happened. When I was in the eighth grade, I was having a really hard time. And there were two female teachers, both my science teachers, that made me feel like someday I'm going to be in science because they love so much and they care so much and they're taking care of me that I'm going to be just like them. And I wanted to teach science in middle school because 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, depending on what your middle school or junior high looks like, wherever you're living, those ages are very turbulent in general. And I didn't know that as a kid. I just know I was in the middle of all of this turbulence with some other stuff. And so here I was going, when I was in the 8th grade, going, I don't know if I would have made it through middle school without these two women. And someday I will help middle school age kids navigate that and just figure out who they are so they can be their whole self, because I couldn't be my whole self in a lot of places, but they let me be my whole self. And then we moved, you know, I lived in Seattle for a very long time. We moved here about 5 years ago, April, and apparently my lifetime membership moves with me. I had no idea. And oh, so wow. I got a call from Girl Scouts of Colorado. Welcome. We're so glad you're a lifetime Girl Scout. Would you be interested in helping girls that need, you know, that need an adult to make their Girl Scout dreams happen? And I said, sure. And there were four families of middle school kids that wanted to get together, and they're all girls at this point in time. And so I'm like, huh, this is really interesting. And upon reflection, after doing this for a few years, I was like, hey, it came to me. I woke up, I guess I had to dream about one of those teachers. And I was like, I did it. I am giving back to the girls that are the age that I was when I needed some of the most help, and somebody saw me and somebody wow. gave that to me. And so how cool is it that I get to work in the middle school realm in that capacity and continue? What are leadership traits that we need today? How do we think and be authentic to ourselves and have those difficult conversations while we pursue whatever we want to pursue? And we got all kinds of Girl Scouts in middle school. There's a lot of us, I don't know about you, but I still have a list of things I want to do when I grow up. And it was bigger in the 8th grade, the 7th grade.
You know what? One of them is probably coming up your way. I was just telling Mr. Magnificent, I said, okay, ooh, now I've got to fill in those spaces from the time when I was taking care of my mom. Yeah. I have incorporated my walk.
Yeah.
Daily walk. That's, you know, again, my reading time.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be picking up and reading, and we're going to get back into travel.
Good.
So I'm going to be coming up north. I want to hug the trees in the redwoods. I really want to do that.
Me too.
And go to Colorado. So okay. I'm going to come, but I'm not coming when it's cold.
No, don't come when it's cold. It gets hot here too.
Yeah, I know. So I'm not doing either one of those things.
That's funny. But so, yeah. So the point of why we do what we do, and you're right about filling time. And sometimes it's easy to fill time and it's not intentional. And I know every once in a while, I'm like, why do I feel busy instead of fulfilled? Because all that stuff I do, in addition to mothering, in addition to being a fabulous partner in crime and in life. And
you say I'm a fabulous partner, girl. I'm going to take your seat on the throne. I don't blame you.
Thank you. I was actually talking about my Mr. Magnificent, but yes, I will claim that.
You got to claim it because that's work too.
It is, isn't it?
That is definitely work. So again, I am a mother of one magnificent costume designer and a makeup artist. I mean, she can transform herself into all kinds of stuff. My husband taught her how to sew. How many children do you have, and what do they do that is magnificent?
I have one child and he's 10. Oh. And what does he do that is magnificent? He loves to know how things work. So if he can read about it, if he can actually, more importantly, if he could actually build something out of whatever he has around, he will do that. One of my favorite stories is about Winky. Winky is, so he's a creator, and he called himself an inventor before we use that word inventor. And he likes to take stuff apart. He calls it destruction at 10, but really he likes to take it apart so he can understand what all the pieces are and then decide if he wants to put it back the same way or do it a different way. Okay, so that's his, where he's working from. And I'm all about that. I'm all about the mess. I'm all about the taking it apart. I'm all about the what would typically be kind of like that negative connotation. I'm like, that's not it. Because in the end, what can happen? It can always be put back together, and it can all, maybe not always put back together, but at the same point in time, the mess can be cleaned up. The experience that comes from the mess cannot.
Exactly. And you know what? I love a man that can fix something. I was telling my husband the other day, you know, there's nothing worse than a man that, I'm sorry, yes, it's sexist. You know,
but we need help sometimes, and we don't know what our strengths are, and I'm all about that.
I can say anything, the vacuum cleaner, or the, you know, can you put my desk together? I mean, he can put it together with no problem.
It's becoming a lost art, April. I love
my brother. Oh, anybody. Can you call your husband over here to help me do this? And I'm like, dude, really?
That's hilarious. Well, here, so Winky was made out of recycled materials.
Oh, wow.
So at one of his schools and one of his classes, they were like, well, go get the stuff out of the recycle bin that we have here at school. And so we started saving everything. And he would make all of these little things, and they all had stories. And he's a great storyteller too, by the way. So you've got all these things. And finally, we had this, I don't know if it's a credenza. So it's like something you would put dishes on for a serving, like a side serving table. Okay. And it was about 48 inches tall, and the thing is about 6 feet long. And so we had this huge mound of stuff. And I said, well, I wonder if there's something bigger to be made here. And so we took all of this pile of creations that he was so proud of, and we laid it out all over the floor, and we made a recycled robot with all kinds of cool features from all of the stories of the individual things. And he stood my height. He was probably here. I'm 5'7". Winky, the robot was somewhere, you know, right around here. So 5'2", 5'3", somewhere in there. Full length, had stories and gadgets and all of this other great stuff.
Well, he came up with a brilliant idea. You need to do him a video podcast.
Yeah, so that he can keep doing that, right?
I mean, you know, if he doesn't eat anything but once a week, that is so encouraging and so motivating for other kids that like to tinker. Other kids that, you know, are lonely. For self-esteem.
Yes.
There's an idea there.
There's an idea.
So you are a great idealist, and I love having you here on the edge. God, the time has just flown by. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to follow you on your podcast, to maybe be a guest.
Absolutely.
All the good things.
All those good.
Jessica, you are an amazing communicator and the podcaster. I'm just so excited. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I need them to connect with you. I need them to follow you. I need them to support you, to sign up and find out more about Winky.
I have a picture. He's in my blog post somewhere.
All right.
He's in my blog somewhere. RedDirection.com. Anything and everything you want about where to find me on social media, how to listen to the podcast on your preferred player, because that's a big thing I'm about, is how do I make it as easy for you? One-stop location for everything. And yes, to the point of being more creative, creating a framework to innovate and to stay, I don't want to say ahead of the game, but aware of the game that you're playing in the business that you have. It's a really important opportunity. And we have information about that at the Fast Track Your Business part of that website, reddirection.com.
Reddirection.com, brains. I'm going to put it at the end of this video down at the bottom. You are not going to be able to miss it because I didn't miss it. Here's to you, baby. And thank you for your care and your support in the podcast world and beyond. You're the best.
Cheers.
All right. Brains. Go and do your due diligence right now. I need you to sign up all over the planet, okay? To Jessica and my podcast, YouTube videos. Check us out on LinkedIn, Facebook, all the usual suspects, because that's where our tribe lives. All right. Bye, baby. We'll talk again soon.